Good morning. We good this morning? Yes. What a great morning so far. God's been really moving, speaking to us, and I'm really excited that he's going to keep doing that now in our next bit of time. I say bit of time, I'm not going to put a number on it. Someone might hold me to it. Do you know what? Why don't we just pray together? And then I'm going to share. Father God, I just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that you have spoken to us so much already this morning. And thank you that you want to continue to speak to us now. I want to just personally commit what I've planned, what I've prepared in these words to you, God, now in this moment. And say, will you take the words and will you speak to each one of us right into our hearts and may we need to hear your voice. Amen. Amen. Now, I reckon most of you probably know this about me and my family anyway, but we are avid campers. We love a bit of camping. Anyone else? I can see someone already shaking their head at me. Anyone else love a bit of camping? Any campers in the room? Yes. Bring it on. Love a bit of a tent. We've just bought a new tent, which is very exciting because our tent has been getting very ropey and very old. And last year we got it out, and as we got it out for holiday, going, oh yeah, we were going to get a new one. And we packed away thinking we're never going to use it again. Thankfully, the weather was so good last year and it held out. But when we go camping, I don't know what you're like if you are a camper. If you're not a camper, bear with us for a moment. But there's a bit of a list of criteria of expectation of what you want within a campsite. And one of the top things for us as a family is whether they allow campfires or not. Like, that is a crucial part of camping. The campsite can't do campfires. It's like, We go camping with friends as well, and it's always, we're on the phone together going, right, where are we going to go? And again, with the two families together, we're like, we have to be able to do campfires. Anyone love a campfire? Even if you don't like camping, you might like, yes, brilliant. One of our favourite things, actually, we've got quite a few things we love to do, toasting marshmallows. Anyone up for that one? Bit of toast. I feel like I should have brought a campfire and we toasted marshmallows. Maybe we should do that one day. Also like s'mores, chocolate digestive biscuit, melted toasted marshmallow squished together. Anyone like a bit of that one? Yeah, brilliant. It's camping specialist. Well, yes, this is what we're going to talk about for the next half an hour. No, there's a point. Don't worry, there's a point. But I do need to share my top favourite that I do love. And I remember doing this as a little girl. When we used to go camping with guides, bananas and Mars bars. Do you know that? Are you with me on this? Cut your banana down the slit, keep it in the skin, chop up a bit of Mars bar, push it into the banana, wrap it in foil, put it in the campfire. Leave it for a few minutes. Maybe you might want to turn it over, okay? Then use tongs, it's going to be hot. Get the tongs, get it out. You unwrap it all, keep it all in the skin. It's all this oozy, melted Mars bar banana, scoop it out with a bit of spoon. Yeah, anyone like the sound of that? Yes. Okay, maybe I should do it. We should do it. One Sunday after church, we'll get a campfire out there and we'll do bananas and Mars bar. If you don't like bananas, just, we might have to. Uh-oh. Anyway, that's just delicious. Anyway, it's got me thinking about, and now everyone's hungry, and now everyone's going to be like, hurry up and talk really fast, Mary Jane, so we can, like, everyone's going to go to the shop and buy bananas and marshmallows and Mars bars. Anyway, campfire was the key there, because I want to talk this morning about fire. And fire is found a lot in the Bible. There is a lot that we read about where fire is there. And fire, we read it a lot in the Old Testament, very much a way that God would manifest his presence, would manifest his power, would reveal his glory. Fire would be the way that he would produce awe and wonder in people. Some of the things that we get is like Moses with the burning bush and God saying, this is holy ground, take off your shoes. We get the Israelites at night, God guided them with the big pillar of fire, which is quite incredible. One of my favorite stories in the Bible that I love is the one of Mount Carmel with Elijah and King Ahab, where Elijah goes, come on, let's have a contest to see who the one true God is. And he gets his altar, doesn't he? And he drenches it in water. And then God comes down. sets it alight. We get a lot about fire, and fire is often associated with the Holy Spirit. We often make those connections as well. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. If you're joining us this morning, we're in like a middle of a series. This is number 3 of our series, where we're just unpacking a little bit each week about who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and how he wants to move and work in our lives. And so this morning, I want us to think about fire and the Holy Spirit. And let me just share a couple of verses. These aren't the ones yet for you, Ethan. I've given him quite a lot, but not all of them. So there's quite a few verses. But we read about fire and the Holy Spirit. In Luke 3, verse 16, John says these words, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So we get that occasion. We also get that great story. I'm not going to read it all now, but in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, when the disciples and all Jesus' followers, they're all gathered in the room, and it describes, doesn't it, that something that looked like tongues of fire upon their heads. So we're thinking about fire and the Holy Spirit, and as we understand a bit about fire, what we can understand about the Holy Spirit. And what I want to start off this morning is saying that fire transforms. Fire transforms. It can often be used to transform and shape other things and materials. So for instance, I was thinking of a blacksmith. A blacksmith will use fire to transform metal. They will put the metal into the forge, right into the heat of the fire, and it will soften it all up, make it all workable, and then they'll hammer and they'll bend. I'm not a specialist blacksmith at all, so I don't really know what I'm talking about, but you know, they will mold it, they will shape it into something. They use fire to transform, shape, and mold the metal. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit works within us to transform us, to mold us and shape us. And what are we being shaped into? Well, this will come up on the screen. If you've got Bibles or looking at the screen, whichever takes your fancy. But we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And right at the end of this chapter, we've been reading this chapter. You can go away and read it all yourself if you want to. Talking about the glory of the new covenant. It talks about the old way of the law and then the new way of Jesus. And right at the end, in verse 18, it says, "So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." Slightly different version would have come up. But we're being shaped. The Holy Spirit is working in us, transforming us, shaping us into the glorious image of Jesus. In the NIV, it uses the word transformed. We are being transformed into his image. This is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to become more and more like Jesus. And I've mentioned this a little bit over the last couple of sessions we've had on the Holy Spirit. I mentioned it briefly last week when we were talking about the Holy Spirit as a teacher and this whole idea of him molding us and shaping us. And this morning I want us to sit with this idea a little bit more. I want us to look at this just a little bit more and allow it to really speak into our lives. And often this whole process that we read about in 2 Corinthians and this whole transformation is often referred to as sanctification. I don't know how familiar you are with that word. It might be new to you. You might be like, yep, I got that completely. To sanctify means to make holy. So sanctification is this process of being made holy. Sanctification is something that follows justification, that moment that occurs at salvation. You know, our sin is dealt with at salvation. We've celebrated this morning. Our sin is dealt with. Jesus did that at the cross. Our sin is dealt with, We have our salvation, but then after that, what follows is this process, this becoming more and more like him, becoming more and more holy. That is what we're talking about. And do you know God's desire is for us to be holy like him? That's his desire for us. 1 Peter 1:15, I think this one will come up as well. Thanks, Ethan. Says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. What do we mean by holy? Holy means consecrated, set apart. This is about us being made set apart for God, for his purpose. And I just love that all of this is about this process, that it's a journey, that it's like a little by little, bit by bit. We're not going to reach it now, but we're going to reach it one day. We'll be complete in his glorious image, that one day when he takes us home, when he returns, whenever that day might be, that is the day when this will be complete. I don't know about you, but I quite like that. I'm a perfectionist. So it's like, I like to reach that goal. But actually, there's something just quite refreshing to go, actually, I'm not going to reach that goal now, but we're just going to keep going and keep going and keep going. I want us to turn into the Old Testament. And we're going to look at a little passage as we think a bit more about this transforming that the Holy Spirit does in us. And I want us to look at these verses of, it's Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. I just want to read, and this one should come up on the screen as well. It says this, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. So this is Isaiah talking about when he saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Wow. That's a pretty cool picture, isn't it, to be imagining when we describe that. Do you know, last week when we looked at the Holy Spirit as a teacher, one of the main things we really looked at was that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. And if you were here, you might remember we got three of the lads up here to do this picture of just like the Holy Spirit shining light over our shoulder onto Jesus, facing us that we can see him. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus so that we can encounter more of him, that we will see more of who he is, that we'll see more of his holiness. And I almost think that's a bit like this moment that's being described with Isaiah, that there's this moment he is faced before God in all his holiness. Wow. That Isaiah is, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine the awe, the wonder, the reverence, the, you know, he says, woe is me, like I am a sinful man. In the place of holiness of God, that it creates this moment within Isaiah. And I just think, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to do that in us. He wants to reveal Jesus in a way that we see his holiness, that we are then in awe ourselves, we're in wonder, we find ourselves in a place Just like Isaiah then could see his impurities, could see his flaws, that when we're faced with the holiness of Jesus, we also too will just see our impurities and our flaws, and we get this then beautiful moment of that burning coal, again, that fire that comes and cleanses. And this moment is a bit like what's described in another Old Testament prophet book. And I want us to jump. So we're going to start linking in. We're going to jump to Malachi, that also talks about quite a similar moment. So Isaiah's had this moment of revelation, of seeing God, his holiness, and this moment of a purifying, isn't there? There's a cleansing. And we get a really similar thing in Malachi that's talking about this refining, purifying. So in Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, it says, "But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord." You know, between Isaiah and Malachi, these two passages, we've got this sense of fire being used as a way to cleanse, to purify, to refine. And this morning, I want us to just really pull out that this is the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives, that he wants to refine, he wants to purify. And we get in Malachi, don't we, this refining gold picture. And I think that's a really great picture for us to understand and to look at. You know, gold doesn't exist in its purest form naturally. When gold is mined and it's there, there's impurities in amongst the gold. And that's why it needs to be refined. It needs to go through the process to get the impurities removed and to be left with pure gold. And you know, that's the same with us, that there are impurities within us that need to be removed to reach that pure gold. And when gold is being refined, I don't do this though, don't do this for my campfire, so no refining gold. So if you come on a camping trip with us, there's none of this going on. But refining with fire is again this thing where it's heated. The fire is really hot. It's like over 1,000 degrees. It is so hot. The intensity of that fire creates this molten liquid gold. And then someone sits there and they stir it, and all the dross, all the impurities come to the surface, and then they literally skim off the dross. They just take off all of those impurities. Like, this is the picture that we're being given here this morning, of that skimming off until what's left is pure gold. And I just think this is such a beautiful picture of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. He wants to work in us and refine us, wants to skim off the dross. It's a great word, isn't it? It's a great word to say, dross. The dross. It's like the ugly bits of us. The ugly bits. The jealousy. The greed, the guilt, the regrets, the pride, the selfishness, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, all of this stuff that we walk around with, he wants to come along and refine us, purify us. Do you know, I wonder, do we welcome that? Because that's quite hard, isn't it? I'm really sorry, it's not a light, easy one today. This is like tough stuff, but you know, do we welcome that? Do we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and do that kind of work in us? Or are we a bit like, I'm just going to push that over there. No, I'm quite happy with all my dross. Don't touch my dross. Is there a longing for holiness? Are you longing for holiness? You know, as I've been preparing this, and when I think about this, I'm taken to David and the Psalms. Because when we look there, we read a heart that is longing for this. He is someone that longs for this. You might already be thinking just the words purify and refining and cleansing. If we go to Psalm 51, verses 7 to 12, where David says, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Again, if you want to flip to Psalm 139, right at the end of this psalm, we get words again of David, and he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I wonder what our lives would be like if we started to make this our daily prayer, that we would come every day and say, oh, search me, oh God, Holy Spirit, search me, examine me, point out anything that offends you, that will say, create in me a clean heart. What a prayer to pray. Are you praying it? Am I praying it? This is, I want us to think about this. You know, what a transformation that will take place if we daily were in communion with God in this way. Do you know, as I've been praying as well, and some of you might have been thinking of this as well, I was thinking of a song I remember. I can't remember how old it is. Growing up, purify my heart. Do we know that? Shall I sing? I don't know if I want to sing. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master. Ready to do your will. Wow. Hadn't actually planned for us to do that, but oh. That's my heart's cry. And this morning I just want to say, church, this is where the Holy Spirit wants us to be, in a place where we're saying, my heart's one desire is I want to be holy. To be holy, to be set apart. And I love that. Ready to do your will. Isaiah, do you know in that passage, Isaiah, what came next after this moment of seeing his holiness, a cleansing? Who am I going to send? Send me. Send me. That's what comes next. Do you know our heart matters? It matters to God. Your heart matters. I think God say that when a man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. It's what I always love about David. He was a man after God's own heart. It was about his heart. Jesus even said, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. In Proverbs it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We need our hearts to be refined, to be purified, so that what we say, how we behave, the fruit that's produced from us will be pleasing to God and will reflect Jesus to those around us. Sometimes there are things that take root in us that are unhealthy, and the Holy Spirit wants to reveal those to us, wants to bring them to the surface, and wants to remove them. But I always love that what then is brought forth is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's for a beautiful purpose. To refine us to be that pure gold, that we will reflect Him. The Holy Spirit wants to work in each one of us to refine and to purify. And I also want us to quickly have a look at how He also, in this transformation, He wants to renew our minds and our thoughts. In transforming us, He wants to renew the way we think. I want to look at two verses. These are going to come on the screen. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And then Ephesians 4, verses 23 to 24 says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. He wants to renew the way we think, our thoughts, our mind. I don't know about you, but I need this. My thoughts are not always healthy. My thoughts are not always pleasing to God. Where's your mind fixed? Where are your thoughts fixed? You know, the New Testament talks a lot about where we fix our eyes, where we fix our minds. Philippians 4, Paul writes, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In Colossians 3, we read, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Can I encourage us today? Let's focus on what God wants us to focus on. Let's keep our thoughts fixed on Him. To renew our minds, we need to replace our way of thinking with God's truth of His word. We've already had that Sue shared about God's word. Do you know, last week we talked about that the Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth. He will lead us into truth. He will lead us to God's word. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us in renewing our minds that our thoughts will be God's truth. You know, recently, we went to our AOG leadership conference, and someone that was speaking there was talking about self-talk and God talk. And they were saying about how sometimes we can think to ourselves more than we should. And our self-talk can become louder than our God talk. Now, I don't know about you, but this resonates a bit with me. Maybe you're okay with this, but do you know, sometimes my self-talk can be louder. My self-talk can feed me lies that are not the truth of who God says I am. My self-talk can lead me to discouragement. My self-talk can lead me to disappointment. My self-talk can lead me to quit, to step back, to step out from what God has called me to do. Our self-talk can do all of that things. I don't know if this resonates with anybody or sounds familiar to anybody, but do you know what? The Holy Spirit wants to transform that in us. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us. We need to raise our God talk. Focus our mind on what He says. We need to be taking what we read, take a verse, read it, pray over it. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to align our minds and our thoughts to the truth of God's word. Even just this week, I've got out the post-it notes. Love a post-it note. Anyone else? Post-it note fan? Do love a post-it note. And I've been writing some verses, and I've had them literally just stuck on my screens, on my laptops this week, so that as I'm there working, the word of what he says, these verses, are what I'm fixing my mind on. When my self-talk will take me somewhere else, I'm going, this is what your word says. The Holy Spirit, we talked about this last week, as a teacher, he wants to bring to mind his words. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind what God says, what his word says, and we need to use that and align with that. Do you know we can encourage each other in this too? And that's really important. In the renewing of our minds, he put us together in a community as church. This is how he wants us to be and wants us to function. We need to be honest, share with each other. You know, when our self-talk is getting louder, maybe talk to somebody and just say, my self-talk's getting a bit loud. And let's encourage each other and say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, renew your thoughts. This is what God's word says. This is the truth. This is what he says. That we can help each other to align ourselves, to fix our thoughts. And this is so important. We need to be inviting the Holy Spirit to come and renew our minds, to renew our thoughts. He wants to bring us a peace of mind. We read about that in Philippians 4 in those verses, isn't it? Like, do not worry about anything. And he said, pray about everything. Give thanks to God. And then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. He wants to guard our hearts and minds. He wants to bring us peace. I just want to come back to that verse again, Ephesians 4. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. The Holy Spirit, as fire, wants to transform us. He wants to transform us so that we can become more and more like Jesus. And he does that by a purifying, a refining, a renewing of our minds, a renewing of our thoughts. That's what he wants to do in us. And in a moment, I'm going to ask the band to maybe start to come up because I'm literally wrapping up. You know, I asked earlier, are you longing for that? Are you longing for holiness? The New Testament, when you just go away and read, a lot of the New Testament is this, pursue holiness, pursue godliness, be holy because God is holy. And we read so much. There's so many passages in the New Testament where it's just helping us to know how to be more like Jesus. And it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in us, who wants to transform us. Let me just read the verse I started with, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. You think of those words that we sung. Purify my heart, Lord. Holy Spirit, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Is your heart's one desire to be holy, to be set apart from Him. I want to allow a bit of time. I'm just going to pray and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and work in us. Do you want the Holy Spirit to come and work in you? Is your heart saying, purify me, cleanse me, reveal in me? You might just want to put your hands out to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, we started at the beginning about inviting the Holy Spirit. And I just want us to now as well invite the Holy Spirit to come in each one of us. You might want to put your hands out. You might just want to focus on Him. And I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, will you come? Holy Spirit, come and transform us. We pray this morning. Holy Spirit, purify us, refine us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will point out in us anything that needs to be removed. Will you reveal the dross in our lives that needs to be taken away? Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and renew our minds. Renew our thoughts. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, we invite you here now.